Shalom. Good afternoon. With your permission, I would like to start the shiur with a short dedication. I would like to dedicate the shiur in memory of my grandfather, the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose 17th yortzeit will be in Chol HaMoed Pesach. 17th. He died in 1993. I think I don't have to describe him, or even I think you don't have to mention how the Seder and the contents of the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim were very fundamental within his personality and his activities. And I hope that the Divrei Torah that we say I'll be deliver here, he would have approved of them, even though I don't think he would have delivered them himself. We will deal in the shiur today with the foundations of the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I would like to focus on two texts. We'll start with the Mishnah, and later on we'll turn to the Rambam and Hilchot Chametz Umatzah and see how he presents the mitzvah and teaches us how to be Mesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah in Psachim, in Perek Yud Mishnah Dalet, has a very short description of the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Mishnah says the following: Mazgulo kol sheni, v'chana ben shoel, men dat baben, aviv melamdo. I brought the text of the Mishnah according to Ketav Yad Parma. If some of you remember the shiur last year in Mani Shtana, then I explained why. You will see the text over here is a little different than what we're used to. Mani Shtana laila hazeh mikol halelot, שבכל הלילות אנו מטבלים פעם אחת, הלילה הזה שתי פעמים, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים חמץ ומצה, הלילה הזה כולו מצה, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים בשר צלי, שלוק ומבושל, הלילה הזה כולו צלי. And the Mishnah continues. לפי דעתו של בן אביו מלמדו, מתחיל בגנות ומסיים בשבח, ודורש מערמי עובד אבי עד שהוא גומר כל הפרשה. This is the description of the Mishnah of the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the clearest thing and the most evident thing is that it's described as a conversation between a father and a son. And this is rooted in the different ways with which the Torah describes Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, which too is described always as a father talking to a son, who in some of the description he asks him a question, and some of them, one of them, the father is telling his son about Yetziat Mitzrayim without any question. And based upon those psukim, which describe Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim as a conversation between a father and son, so the Mishnah too describes Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim as done at the table with a child, or asking or not asking, and the father trying to transmit the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim to the next generation. When the Mishnah already here, as you can see, has more than one son. We don't have here the four sons of the Brayta of our Baal Banim. In the Mishnah we only have two. One son who asks, and one son who doesn't. V'chana ben shoya is the first son. The second son is Imein dat baben aviv melamdo. Yeah, the Brayta of our Baal Banim, which all of us are familiar with from the Haggadah of Pesach, has two more sons. It has over there three sons who ask. They have different questions. Only one doesn't ask. The principle is rooted in the fact that in the Torah there are various parshiyot which describe Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim. And in these parshiyot, as I mentioned before, in one of them there's no question. In the others there are different questions and different answers. And in the different descriptions of Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim, Chazal derived, they defined one of the major principles of the evening, and that is the Fid Da'ato Shel Ben Aviv Melamdo. There's not one right way to be Mesaper B'Yetziat Mitzrayim. You have to evaluate the skills of your son, you have to evaluate his intellectual level, you have to evaluate his identifying himself with the story, and you have to match the way you're Mesaper B'Yetziat Mitzrayim to the needs of your child, a task which becomes very complicated when you have different children at different ages And to try to run a proper Seder is not an easy thing. But this is the major principle of the Haggadah. Now, the truth is, the Brayta of Arba Avanim, I do not want to make it the central discussion of this shiur, but it is a very complicated Brayta for very simple reasons. Chazal described in that Brayta four sons because they had in their mind four different parshiot of a father who's talking to a son about the Yetziat Mitzrayim. And therefore, each parasha is a different son. Yeah, the son who asks, "My dot v'chukim v'mishpatim," he's the so-called Aben HaChacham. The son who says, "Ma avodah zot lachem," he's the Rasha. The son who says, "Mazot," he's the Tam. And the Vigata Lebincha is the Rasha. But the truth is, it's the Sheino Yodea Lishol. Thank you. You see later on why this mistake that slipped me, there was a reason for it. And I'll say it now. This bright is problematic, not only because in Pshuto Shel Mikra, not all four of them happen on the night of the Seder. For example, the question which Chazal attribute to the Bein HaChacham, Ma'idot HaChukim V'Mishpatim, it appears in Dvarim Perek Vav. There's no hint there in the Parshiyot that it happens on the night of the Seder. The question of Mazot in the Torah clearly is not on the night of Tetvav B'Nisan, but it's after Pidyon HaBen. The son sees Mitzvat Bechor and he says to his father, "What is this all about?" There really are only two questions which clearly in the Psukim are on the background of seeing the Mitzvot of the night. And one is Ma Avodah Zot Lachem, which is described in the Psukim before. Vayak Hivyecha Hashem Al Eretz Kanani V'Avodata Et Avodah Zot B'Chodesh Hazeh. The son sees Korban Pesach, and then he says to his father, "What is Korban Pesach all about?" And the other one is the Vigata Lebincha, which is the Pasuk before the Torah describes the Mitzvah of Matzah. And it would seem that coming to four Banim is not so simple. Two are much simpler regarding directly to the night of the Seder, as the Mishnah really did. Having one son who asks and one son who doesn't. But that bright is more complicated for a different reason. If the four questions reflect four types of sons, we would have expected that they will be given the answers the Torah gives to those questions. But you all know that the Bein HaChacham gets some answer which we're not familiar with so much. We don't understand why is that the answer. He's told, "En maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikoman." What we should have done is, if the Bein HaChacham appears in that parasha, say to him the answer the father gives the son in Dvarim Vav. He should have said to him, "Avadim ha-inu le-paro b'mitzrayim," etc., etc. The Bein HaRasha doesn't get the answer in the Torah to the question, "Ma avodah zot lachem?" The answer he's given is, that was my mistake before, what is he told? He should have been told the answer in the Torah, and that is, "Zevach Pesach hu la'Hashem asher pasach al batei b'neis." That's not what he's answered. What is he answered? The answer to the Shino Yodea Lishol. That was my mistake before. "Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mi-Mitzrayim." We even make the diyuk li v'lo lo. The same answer is given to the Bein Shino Yodea Lishol. So the Brayta is not so simple. I just want to draw your attention. I'm not going to discuss the Brayta more in this year or today, perhaps another year, that the Mishnah really only has two sons. And the truth is that to make it clear that there's a principle of not one way of saying Yetziat Mitzrayim, but referring to different needs, two are really sufficient. The moment you realize that there's one son who asks and one who doesn't, the principle is evidently made clear. The fidato shel ben aviv melamdo. When bipshuta shel mishnah, let's try to interpret it. Mazgulo kos sheini v'chana ben shoel. What does he ask? Lichora mazgulo takos kos sheini v'chana ben shoel. He's asking on what he saw. Now, why is the kos sheini drawing his attention and causing him to ask? That I explained last year, and I won't repeat this year, I'll just briefly summarize it. We discussed last year how, while for us, the structure of the night of the Seder is very different than the way we sit down to dinner, even on Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Haseva is unusual, because we're trying to be Meseva on chairs, not in a bed. The Arba Kosot are unusual for many of us. The different Nitilot Yadayim are unusual. The Tibul Rishon we're not used to. And therefore we see the night as a unique, special, I would even say strange night. And what I explained last year was that if we compare Mishnayot Psachim to Mishnayot Brachot and Tosefta Brachot, and also brought them a description of Karkopino, a book called Daily Life in Ancient Rome, we see that the major components of the meal, the major structure of the meal, was very similar to those of fancy festival meals of that time. They had at least three kosot, they had aseva, they had different washings of their hands, they had the different dishes. What was really unique was bringing the mitzvot, the three mitzvot of the Laila, and that is brought just before the mizigah, the kos hasheni. And here, the child, he's not amazed by sitting around an aseva and seeing what he has seen till that part of the Seder. When they bring the mitzvot, and then you do mizigat hakos, the Ben looks at him and says, what's going on over here? The Chana Ben Shoel, the gardener said nicely, Mistama, he's asking, what's going on over here? But I would say what seemed clear in the Mishnah is that he doesn't get up on a cheer and say manishtana, that he was taught before. Meaning apparently it's a child who maybe didn't go to Gan, or maybe they didn't prepare him. I'll refer to that later on. But somebody who's surprised, that's what it would seem like. And you all know that we do differently. We try to prepare our children. I discussed that last year too. I won't repeat it. But the child asked apparently what he saw now. What he's surprised by. And Imei Dat Babe, he sits there like a dummy, like a pumpkin. Doesn't ask anything. So then what does the father do? Aviv Melamdo, what does he teach him? Through the Man Nishtana, he's pointing out to him, look, I want to draw your attention, what's special tonight? And the Man Nishtana in Ketav Yad Parma, that's why I brought it, is he reflects what's unique in the time of the Mishnah. Later on, the reason the text of the Mishnah changed the question was because the Man Nishtana was updated to reflect what's unique in our eyes today. And that's why we today talk about the Tibulim and the Aseva. But within the Mishnah, the three questions, are there Pesach Matzah Maror? Shebuchar Lelot Anu Metablim Pa'am Achad. The Karpas is regular in those times. Laila Azeh Shtei Pa'amim originally is a question on the second Tibul, which is the Maror. Why is that the first question? Because that's the first thing that he saw. They already did the first Tibul. They brought matzah, so the child wants to know why only matzah. I mean, the father's pointing out, look, there's no bread tonight, only matzah. And the third one is, he points out to the uniqueness of the Korban Pesach. There are some opinions that some sources can be derived. After the Korban HaBayit, there was a minhag of a Gdi Mekulas, which was to bring meat which was roasted like the Korban Pesach to the table as a zecher. Eventually Chachamim opposed that because people can confuse the original with the fake. And therefore, what Chazal wanted to be clear, that's the halakha today, that you have to make sure that you can, even with a layman's eye, you can differentiate between the original and what's trying to be the zeche to remind it, and therefore, no gdi mekulas, you bring a zvara, something which reminds it. And the father is like helping the child to understand, this is what the Mishnah describes, and continues, the fitatol sheben, aviv melamdo. Now what's the answer? How do you explain to him why you have these unique things? There's no text. You have to, yourself, find the right words, match it to the child, and tell him what you think is suitable for him at this time of his life. This is the major principle of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. When the Mishnah continues, here we have a second principle. Matchit, meaning the first principle, I'm reminding you, there's no one right way to do it. You have to, every year before Pesach, think, what's suitable this year? Every year our children grow. Every year they have different needs. We have to grow with them too. And you have to each year think about it before, give it time, not only to clean, but also to prepare how to run the Seder table. And this is all rooted in the Fida Tosha Ben Aviv Melando. I would like to say some words about the, I would say, what's rooted in this story to the children, what I think is also Pshuto Shel Mikra, and I think it's something very essential and fundamental about the Seder, and I would say about Jewish tradition in general. When we go back to the Psukim and try to understand, ask ourselves, what's the background for these curious children who keep asking their fathers all these questions? Mazot, Mavuda Zot Lachem, which can sound really, you know, very nasty questions, you know? And what's the background? Why is he asking these questions? Well, then the Psukim wouldn't say that they're asked out of being wicked or being not sensible. Not at all. It's a very simple background. This is a dilemma which I think Israeli society today is at that standpoint. And that is, in the Torah, the father who's talking about Yitziat, the background is always Haknisa la'aretz. V'aya ki yevi'acha Hashem elokecha la'aretz. Then you celebrate Pesach, you have Matzah u'Maror, in Sefer Dvarim too. V'aya ki yevi'acha Hashem. And then the child says to him, tell me what it's all about. And the explanation, why he's asking, is very simple. In the Torah, the father who's been misaper b'Yitziat Mitzrayim is somebody who he himself was in Mitzrayim and was a Yotze Mitzrayim himself. And the gap between him and his child is a generation gap between somebody who had a great experience, somebody who he himself was part of the event, to somebody who wasn't there. And the challenge of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, I would say the question is asked by the son, that is, why, if you were Yotze Mitzrayim, I have to celebrate Pesach? And this is a challenge of, I mentioned before, a comparison I feel to contemporary Israeli society, you know, where there was the generation which established the state, Dor Tashach, they all have white hair today, had great experiences. I could say I'm younger. The Six-Day War generation had great experiences. Today we're in the era of post or even post Zionism, and people want a normal life today, which I think it's a good thing. And people are asking themselves, what is this all about? Meaning, what do I, why? You could see the difference in the attitude of Israeli society of those who once called Yordim, which today they're called Yisraeli Shagar Bechutz Laretz. It's like a different name. Meaning, there's a difference in attitude and people's ability or willingness to sacrifice themselves for the cause of the state. And one of the major dilemmas today of Israeli society is how to attach Israeli youth to feeling that Zionism is something which is in their bones, which it's their story too. Now, I would say that in the Torah, in the Psukim, that's what's behind the question. The son who says, Na'avodah zot lachem, it's not necessarily, when you read the Psukim, because he's a bad kid, he went to school and he said, I don't care about it. Look, he comes to the Seder table in the bright house. Apparently he cares about it. It's somebody who's asking real, it's a real question. Why should I celebrate Pesach if you're Yotze Mitzrayim? And what basically the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim as described in the Psukim is aimed at and focused at, it's not in transmitting knowledge or information. That's easy. Not explaining to him what happened in Egypt, but trying to fascinate the next generation for them to feel that the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is a story not only of those who were there, but it's a story of the Jewish people. And whoever is part of the Jewish people, he should feel as if what happened in Mitzrayim affected his life. And what really the Night of the Seder is aimed at is, I would say, the goal that I aspire at all year round. How do I make the story of Jewish tradition, continuity, identifying with the fate of the Jewish people, something which will not only be my story, but my children's story too? And in a world which is more global, which there are many, I would say, there are many, many changes of identities today, it's a big challenge. How do I make my children feel, sense, that what happened to the Jewish people is their story too? They should want to be part of this great saga of being part of Jewish tradition. And the challenge is not only on Mitzrayim, it's on, I would say, on being Jewish in total, When many people in Chutz La'aretz are, I would say, mistapeg b'muat, it's enough for them their child should marry somebody Jewish. Which that itself is not taken for granted anymore. And I have greater expectations from my children, I hope you do. But this is a major challenge today. It's not easy to educate children. It's not easy to cause your children to be excited by being Jewish. Not only to know what happened in Mitzrayim. And one of the major factors of the Seder night is really it's not to transmit knowledge. It's to have a mutual experience. It's to fascinate everybody at the table. It's to re-experience the Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's what the night is aimed at. And here I want to make a tribute to all those who are older than me in the room here, our grandparents. I'm one of the youngest one here in the room. You know that the first time in the Torah, in Shemot Yud, when the Torah mentions the future story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Torah mentions grandparents. L'man tesaper bozne bincha uven bincha et asher italalti befaro v'mitzrayim. There's only one more place in the Torah where the Torah mentions grandparents telling a story to their grandchildren. That's Ma'amad Har Sinai in Dvarim Perek Dalad. V'odatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha yom asher amadata lifnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. I was present at the brit of the Rav's first great-grandson, Meshulam Tversky, the son of my cousin, Rav Moshe Tversky. It was in Muncie, 1982. And Rav was very, very excited, very moved by becoming a great-grandfather. It's a schud the Torah mentions regarding Yosef. Gam b'nei machil ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef. It's a big schud. And at the brit, the Rav, at the Suda, he quoted the Gemara in Kiddushin in Daf Lamed, where the Gemara says, "Kol ha-malamed ben b'no Torah, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv, ki'ilu amad lifnei har-sinai." And the Rebbe asked, and he said, when you look in Halacha, in Chol Talmud Torah, it's very clear that the role of teaching is, first of all, the role of the father, of the parents, I would say, today. The Rambam writes very clearly that Chayav Adam Lameh Bno Torah, and then he continues, Lord Bno, also Ben Bno, but he says, Inkein Lama Ne'ema Vishinantam Levanecha, Bno Kodem Leven Bno. Rama writes it very clearly, and the truth is, when you look over the different parashiyot of the Torah describing parents with their children, it's always you and your son. The Torah singularizes here the Bnei Banim, and the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about that it's a schut that brings as if you were at Har Sinai. And the Rav explained that there are two different mitzvot, two different roles in transmitting Talmud Torah. One is to transfer the knowledge, what the Rav called many times explanation, to explain to your child what the laws are, to teach him how to be a lamdin, teach him how to learn, teach him more Gemara, more halacha, more Jewish philosophy. That's the one mitzvah. But there's another mitzvah, and that is to transmit the Jewish tradition to another generation. The Rav called that transmitting the Mesorah to another generation. In words he used to use a lot, it's to fascinate him to being part of Jewish tradition. And here, the role of a grandparent can be much more essential than the role of a parent. Because there's a bigger generation gap. Because perhaps grandparents are not involved in daily raising of children. Because perhaps they give the presents and candy and they don't have to educate on a daily basis. They don't give their basic needs to their children, to their grandchildren, but they're more involved in playing with them and having a good time with them, right? So therefore, they have more, I would say, ability to attach more remote generations one to the other. I could say that the Rav, that Shiur concluded, he says, if you're able to have another generation, now he said, I have another generation born, and you're able to attach him to tradition, so then you have this chut as if you were Har Sinai, because Ma'amad Har Sinai is not only aimed at giving the Torah, it's also being fascinated by meeting the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a religious experience. And this is true about Yetziat Mitzrayim. This is true about my mother, Sinai. In places we want to fascinate, we want to attach, we want to experience together. There's a very, very important role of grandparents being involved. When I could say also the reverse to answer him back. That if I look back at myself, at my teachers who shaped me, who formulated me, most of my Torah I learned from my father, Shlita, who I learned by him for many years. But if I look back at my life and I say, who fascinated me not only to know a lot of Torah? My father was a very loving and kind teacher, but he was strict too. And it wasn't always easy, I'll be honest. I'm very thankful to him for all those years and hours of learning and all his patience, but it wasn't always easy. But my going to visit the Rav when I was 14, then I changed my attitude. I like felt I want to be attached to what he resembles, to what he reflects. It's true about my other grandparents too. And I'll tell you honestly, the generation gap between me and them, I think, was much larger than what exists now. My grandfather, Dr. Yechiel Lichtenstein, was born in the 19th century in Eastern Europe. The other grandparents were a little younger. They were born only in the 20th century, 1903, 1904, 1902. What the Jewish people went through between the years they were born until I was born, it's like hundreds of years. And they were born in Eastern Europe, and then they moved to the West, the Holocaust. They went through two world wars, establishment of the State of Israel. So many things have changed. But I spoke to somebody from the past. I sense today perhaps the gaps are a little, I don't know, those who came in Aliyah, again, they have a big gap. They don't speak Hebrew, some of you. That's why I have to deliver a shiur in English. With your grandchildren, maybe, or Israeli kids. But the role still exists. And the Seder night, before we talked about parents with their children, the Mishnah only describes the father and son, Kana ben Shoel, Aviv Melamdo, but very clearly, it's a multi-generation night, which is very meaningful. And I think that grandparents have a great role, not only on the Seder night of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, but in general, in raising up their grandchildren to be faithful Jews. They can give them a lot of love. They can fascinate them very much. And I wish upon all of us to be able to do it properly. Now, the Mishnah continues to the next principle of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. That is, Matchil Begnut Umsayim B'Shvach. But this principle is aimed at giving the story a depth. Not only to go straight to the end of the book. You know, in Megillat Esther too, I'll refer to later, I hope, to the comparison between Purim and Pesach, the Mishnah, you have to read the whole Megillah, and HaKorela Mafreya Lo Yatsa. I don't know who of you, when you read a good book, you skip to the end because you don't have patience to go through the whole story. But you're ruining your enjoyment of reading the book. And what the Mishnah says very clearly is, you can't just say we were freed from Mitzrayim tonight. Because the focus is really on what happened on Tetvav Benisan. You should know that the Rambam, referred to later, the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah taseh shel Torah, l'saper, nisim v'niflot shasu l'avoteinu Mitzrayim b'lot chamisha asal benisan. The Agadah really focuses on what happened on Tetvav Benisan. The only mention of Aseret HaMakot is on those brightos with the dam tzardeah, which we dip out the blood, but you should know that wasn't a part of the original text of the Haggadah. It was added on during the time of the Gaonim. The central part of the Haggadah did not include that. It focuses on Tetvav Benisan, and here Chazal say, but you can't just go straight to the end. The story needs a depth. It has roots to it. You have to try to explain what was the gnut. In order to understand the shevach, you have to ask yourself, what was so bad in being a slave? And therefore, you have to give the story also a depth. Matchil begnut umsayim b'shvach. And then the Mishnah continues, v'doresh me'arami oved avi ad shu gomel kol ha'parasha. And here I would like to remark on a few things regarding Arami Oved Avi. One is, the choice to be misaper b'tiyat mitzrayim through Arami Oved Avi has to be explained. Because it would have seemed maybe more natural just to decide to go back to Shmot, read the Parshiyot and the Torah describing Shavuot Mitzrayim,
Okay, I'll give you if you want a discount, skip Perek Gimel, okay? But read Perek Aleph, read Perek Bet, you know, read Moshe Beharon and Perek Kei coming to Paro, read Aseret HaMakot, they misapper B'Tziat Mitzrayim. But Chazal made a very surprising choice at first glance. No, no, no. Go to Sefer Dvarim, to somebody who's bringing Bikurim, well, it's a little shorter, okay? But and take what he says when he brings the Bikurim, he makes a declaration, Arami Oved Avi, he gives a short story of Jewish history, and Bimisaper B'Tziat Mitzrayim through that text. When what did they add? They added Doresh. What does Doresh mean? Bidua Midrash, which from that text go back to the Parshiyot and Shmot. But why do it that way? I think the reason is very simple, and that's reflected too in the Machloket of the Amoraim, of what is the Gnut and what is the Shevach that I mentioned before. The Machloket of Rav and Shmuel and the Gemara and Psachim and Daf Kuf Tet Zayin is the Gnut or Shevach Avadim Ayinu, that's the Gnut, and the Shevach is Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, or is the Gnut Mitchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Yu Avoteinu Vata Kirvanu Hamakom LaAvodato, which these two go back to two biblical parshiyot of people who are misaper b'Yitziat Mitzrayim. Avadim Ayinu is in Dvarim Vav, and Mitzchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Yu Avoteinu is at the end of Sefer Yoshua. Yoshua gathered all of Am Yisrael in the ceremony of Akel before he passed away from the world, and he's telling them over Jewish history. And we see that all the different parshiyot of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim chosen by Chazal to be brought within Agadah Shel Pesach are all from people who are telling Yitziat Mitzrayim not while the events are happening and occurring, not through the prism of Sefer Shmot, not live broadcast, which you bring the videotape and you go through the broadcast again, but through parshiyot which describe people who are already years away from Yitziat Mitzrayim. People who are from a perspective are explaining Yitziat Mitzrayim. And one of the, I think the reason is very simple, and it's reflected very clearly in that machloket of Rav and Shmuel. Because every event has more than one aspect to it. And what to emphasize is changes from different perspectives. It can change from time to time, from society to society. When I look back at Mitzrayim, what was the important, what's the essence of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Yoshua thought the essence of Yitziat Mitzrayim is the metaphysical, spiritual consequences that Am Yisrael became a nation after Yitziat Mitzrayim went to Mamad Har Sinai. Avadim Ayinu emphasizes something different. They're being freed from slavery. And the shiur I gave here in Parshat Vayera, some of you remember, and I pointed out in that shiur how both of them are exist already within Sefer Shmot too. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro with Aaron, and they say, free the Jewish people, Shalach etami v'yavduni b'midbar, what does Paro say? Lo yadati et Hashem, gam et Yisrael lo ashalech. So they both exist here. Lo yadati et Hashem takes us to Mitchila of Devodaz Yu Avoteinu. Part of Yitziat Mitzrayim is recognizing God, and Gamet Yisrael Lo Ashaleach is Shichur from Shiabud. But there are different elements you can emphasize, and therefore Chazal said from a perspective. When there's a price to that, I want to tell you what the price is, and this I think explains the Doresh. During the 1980s, when the Iron Curtain fell, and people started coming here, Russian Olim, not the Olim of the 70s, the Refusnikim, but those who came after the curtain fell down. My family discovered new cousins. My great-grandmother was a Feinstein, a rebellious prisoner. The Rav's maternal grandfather had 10 children, 5 daughters and 5 sons. I always knew about the famous son-in-laws who were great rabbis, but the sons like disappeared. I never heard of them. And suddenly in the 1980s, it turns out that some of them survived the war and they had children in Russia. And new cousins come from Russia. It's around 1989. I don't remember the year exactly, but it was the late 80s. And like typical families of Russian immigrants,
they had one child, and some of them, the men died of cancer because they were all engineers and all these plants. And the first Seder in their life was in my parents' table. They didn't know a word of Hebrew yet. And they sat down at the table, and each one of them got somebody to translate the Haggadah to English to explain to him what's going on. And the Seder is a very long Seder at my father's table. Till 3 o'clock in the morning. They did everything they were told to do. Pick up the cup. Recite this. Okay. They're saying this very nice. Eat matzah. They ate matzah. Eat more. The end of the Seder, they're very polite. They say, no, it's really a great experience. Thank you very much. We only have one question. What happened there in Egypt? They're like, you realize the Haggadah doesn't say what happened. Because the Haggadah assumes, I'm going back to what I described before, that you know, you have some notion of the story before you come to the table. And this is partially because it's through a midrash. You go to Rabbi Ovid David, which doesn't say explicitly everything that happened there. And the midrash that goes back to parts of Sefer Shmot, it tries to explain it. I know that this is one of the most difficult parts of the Seder, is when you read Arami Oved Avi and people get bored. I would add maybe a practical suggestion. The part of that is because people do not understand the structure of the Haggadah. I mean, if you explain to those participating that you're quoting a statement describing Yetziat Mitzrayim, like an affidavit of somebody who's already years away, and what the structure of the Haggadah is, you read a pasuk, and then through that pasuk, what do you try to do? To go back to Sefer Shmot, like to focus on different parts of the story. Maybe people will find it more interesting to read those parts. But I would add that in Pshuta Shel Mishnah, it would seem that they have no text of Midrash. When the Mishnah says, V'doresh me'arami oved avi, who's Doresh? Those who are at the table, right? That father before. The Orech HaSeder. I mean, the Midrash is a living Midrash. You sit at the table, and you read the Psukim and Shmot, and you ask yourselves, that's apparently what's described in the Mishnah, you ask yourself, this phrase, what does it mean? I will add that I would really, parts of Arami Aved David be Doresh differently, I'll be honest with you. One of them really bothers me. The Yad Chazakah. What does the Haggadah say? What's Yad Chazakah? Remember? Zva Deber, Shenemar, Hine Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecha. I never understood that, because it says Yad Hashem, not Yad Chazakah. When you go back to Sefer Shmot, it seems very clearly that what freed Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim? Makat Bechorot, which I'm convinced is the Yad Chazakah. So I'm saying, like, opening the text, like, can open, like, a discussion. What happened is it's very clearly what happened. It happened in many areas of religious life. It started with a midrash, which apparently was spontaneous. Those at the table had to make suggestions. Eventually, we do have midrashei halacha in those parshiyot, and therefore it was written down on the Haggadah, and now we have to recite it. And there, from here it comes the difficulty of saying it. But I will conclude through the Mishnah the basic principles of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. One is, it's to the next generation. There's no one way to be Mesaper B'Yetziat Mitzrayim. There are different ways. You have to be aware of that. Main dat b'ben aviv melamdo, lefi datol sheben aviv melamdo. The story needs a depth to it. Be sure, the matchil begnut nisayem b'shvach, from a perspective, which can be changing from year to year, from a perspective, and through a living midrash. This is what's described in the Mishnah in Pesachim. Now, when we go to the Rambam in Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah and read his opening presentation of Mitzvah Tzipor Yetziat Mitzrayim, we're waiting a great surprise. Because the Rambam, when he presents the Mitzvah Tzipor Yetziat Mitzrayim, he doesn't present it as a father telling the story to the next generation. Mitzvah Taseh, says the Rambam, Shal Torah, לספר בניסים ונפלאות שנעשו לאבותינו במצרים בליל 15 בניסן שנאמר. And the pasuk he brings is really surprising. We would have expected him to bring the pasuk of ויקלת לבינך ביום ההוא לאמור. But look what pasuk he brings. זכור את היום הזה אשר יצאתם ממצרים כמו שנאמר זכור את יום השבת.
which is really a surprising pasuk. This pasuk was interpreted by the Mechilta, the Rabbi Ishmael, and by Rashi in his commentary on Sefer Shmot, as referring not at all to the night of Tetzvah Benisan. They say this refers to a different mitzvah, which is Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is all year round. It's a daily remembrance of Yitziat Mitzrayim, relating to what I mentioned before. I think that the basic difference between the Seder night and Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim all year is that all year it's like a notifier. Remind yourself that happened. But the Seder night, I mentioned before, we try to re-experience it. That's the essential difference between them. But it would seem Rashi thought this pasuk doesn't relate at all to Tetzvah Benisan. Comes the Rambam and he says, the pasuk which establishes the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, there's no son, no child in that pasuk. It's basically relating to yourself. Zachor et hayom hazeh. And here the Rambam, being aware of the problemacy of his statement, he makes the following addition, Kmo she'ne'emar zachor et yom haShabbat. It seems very clearly why he brought it. Because there too, Zachor et yom haShabbat, which could be interpreted, and I think it should be interpreted, as referring to a state of mind, to remembering Shabbat, Ramban al Torah in Shmot, on that Pasuk, Shmot Kaf, Zachor et yom haShabbat, talks about how Shabbat is creating a state of mind of remembering Shabbat, making it present in your attitude. He brings the story of Shamaya Zaken there, whenever he went shopping, he would always say this is for Shabbat. He talks about the way in Hebrew we name the weekdays. They have no name. Yom Rishon b'Shabbat, Yom Sheni b'Shabbat, Yom Shlishi b'Shabbat. It's a constant remembrance of Shabbat. And still, what did Chazal say? How do you halachically observe the commandment of Zachor Yom HaShabbat l'Kadsho? You take a cup of wine, and you make a statement at the meal. And very similarly, the Rambam said, I can take the pasuk, Zachor et yom ha-ayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzayim, Zachor et yom ha-shabbat, Zachor et yom hazeh, and transmit or explain the pasuk through the oral law, referring to the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is taking a cup of wine. The Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is done on kosot shel yain, a cups of wine, Arba Kosot, and making at the meal a statement referring to Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Rambam continues, Uminayim shebalel chamisha asar. Who told me the pasuk Zachor et hayom hazeh is limited, or is at the night of Tetvav? So the answer is the continuation of the parasha. And here he remembers to quote Talmud Lomar, V'gadotah lebincha v'yom ahu lemor b'avur zeh v'sha'a sheyesh matzah u'maror munachim lefanecha. Meaning, since it's clear that the pasuk of Yigadata Levincha is because he saw the Matzah and Maror, it's clearly it happens on the night of Tetvav V'Nisan, therefore, Zachor et Hayom Hazeh is too at Tetvav V'Nisan. And then he continues, V'afal pi she'ein lo bein. I mean, if I describe the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim being derived from Zachor et Hayom Hazeh, there don't have to be any children at the table. Afal pi she'ein lo ben, afilu chachamim gdolim, chayavim lesaper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, v'chol ha'ma'arich b'dvarim she'eru v'she'ayu, hari zeh meshubach. This doesn't mean that the Rambam forgot the next generation of the children, because he, in the next halacha, he transfers to a different component of the mitzvah, mitzvah lo'odi al habanim, etc., etc. And if we try to understand what's behind this revolution, this change in focus, we see very clearly that the mitzvah to tell the banim is learned from Vigadata Labincha, and the mitzvah which he starts is from the Zachor et Hayom Hazeh, which both appear in the same parasha. The parasha, it's the parasha of Kadesh Likol Bechor in Shmot Yud Gimel. And we saw before how the Rambam links them together. And it would seem, I think, that the Rambam had in mind the following idea. Before you think of all the tricks you're going to do to tell your kid, what do you have to first do? You have to first tell the story to yourself. Well, in other words, if you want to prepare properly for the Seder, don't only think of the children, think how to make it meaningful for yourself too. And if you'll make the Seder meaningful for yourself, then you are prepared to go and tell it to your children. And he first, it's a chronological order, first the Zachorat Hayom Hazeh, and then the Gadata L'Bincha, or in other words, if you remember the day properly, then you will have Matzah U'Maror, and then you can tell your story. In other words, we have to make an effort not only to think of the next generation, but I would say to make sure it's really our story. I feel that in many times in education, our children catch us when we're not 100% sincere about what we're trying to tell them. You can tell your kid all day and all night to daven properly, but if you come to shul and take at the entrance at Friday night all those Aloni Shabbat, and you read them during davening, don't be too surprised that your kid is bored during davening, because you're bored too. And I don't want to give musar to anybody, but kshot atzmecha, v'chagach kshot acherim. Kids know when we're faking. Meaning, if you don't like to daven yourself, you really will have difficulty teaching your kid to daven. It's true about anything in life. Not only in shul, not only in the sphere of religion. If you really want to transmit something to the next generation, it's something which you have to believe in. And the Rambam here starts by saying, Zachorat Hayom Hazeh, and then V'gadata L'Bincha. And this is not before the night. At the night itself, the Rambam says, you have to be into it too. I would say that to an American crowd. I can call you an American crowd? An Anglo crowd, okay. But what I'm saying is really more addressed to the Americans. Okay, I'll explain why. I don't want to insult anybody, but there's something in American culture which adults know how to retain the vitality of the childhood. I mean, they enjoy games, you know. Now, when you want to play with your kids because it's a good thing, don't think, oh, my kid wants to play, so I have a good father, I have to have quality time, okay, I'll throw him the ball. Throw the ball, because you enjoy throwing the ball. And when you do that, then it really works. I mean, if you're busy doing it because you're only thinking of the kid, like I caught myself, used to take the kids out for ice cream and buy them ice cream, and my wife would say, oh, it's full of calories, you know, so don't buy it. But I said to her, you know what it looks like eventually? That we're like making the kids a good time. But we have to have a good time together. So now I buy ice cream too. I have to lose some weight, okay? And it's true about it when you take the kids out for trips. I mean, enjoy it yourself. But don't fake it for them. And the Rambam says you can't start to say you're only we got to the bicha, we got to the bicha, we got to... No, that's the wrong way to come to the table. You have to start by enjoying it. I'll say, when you start enjoying, it's really much nicer, really. It's a great fun, you know? And Rambam says, the psukim says, Zachor v'igadata. That's the way to read the psukim. Don't start from v'igadata. Now, when we look at the way the Rambam presents, in Halacha Bet, the mitzvah, to tell the son, the children, we can see how he's very clearly close to the Mishnah, and how he interpreted Lefi da'atol shel ben aviv melamdo. I'm reading. Mitzvah lo'odia labanim afilu lo sha'alo shenema v'igadata labincha, which goes back to the Mishnah, imen da'at v'ben aviv melamdo. Lefi da'atol shel ben aviv melamdo, and here look how he explains it. It's really beautiful. Ketzad, im haya katan o tipesh, omer lo bni, kulanu ha'inu avadim kmo shifcha zo, kmo evet ze, b'mitzrayim. ובלילה הזה פדע אותנו הקדוש ברוך הוא ויוצאינו לחירות. ואם היה הבן גדול וחכם, מודיעו מה שהראה לנו במצרים וניסים שנעשו לנו די משה רבנו, הכל לפי דעתו של בן. There are three major differences between the way the Rambam describes telling the story to a קטן או טיפש and to a גדול וחכם. One is with the Ben HaKatan, it said, Kmo Shivcha Zo, Kmo Eved Ze. Apparently in those times, we're talking about Egypt of the 12th century, there were servants, slaves, at the household. And therefore you can point out, I need a word in here in English, help me, Hamchasha. How do you say Hamchasha? Huh?
Concretize.
Concretize, okay? Meaning, the Ben Gadol, it can be more abstract. But to the Ben HaKatan HaTipesh, concretize it. Try to make it
not so after he can see what a slave is, then he'll understand it better.
That's one difference. The second difference is that when the Rambam talks about the Bein HaKatanu HaTipesh, he only mentions the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Pada Otanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he talks about the Bein Gadol V'Chacham, look who he mentions. The person who was forgotten in the night of the Seder, Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is very simple. This is not to concretize, but it's to be able to accept a more complex message. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu omitted from the Haggadah? Because we want to make it clear that the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo ani v'lo ha-shaliach. But the Rambam says, if he's a gadol v'chacham, you are able to explain to him that Moshe Rabbeinu was a shaliach, he was involved, and he cannot confuse between him and God. And this is more complexity to the story, which is to the Bein HaGadol V'Chacham. And the third is, it refers back to things I mentioned before. Since Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the Haggadah, so very clearly, what did the Rambam see in front of his eyes? You don't only read the text, but what do? You make conversation. Meaning you don't only read the text, read Shulchan Aruch, you talk about it, and you're able to add data, information, ideas which do not appear in the Haggadah. These are the three major differences between the Bein, Katan v'Tipesh, Gadol v'Chacham. And the Rambam continues, וצריך לעשות שינוי בלילה הזה כדי שיראו הבנים וישאלו ויאמרו מה נשתנה הלילה הזה מכל הלילות עד שישיב להם ויאמר להם כך וכך הרע, כך וכך היה. The Rambam refers to a concept of כדי שישאלו התינוקות, which I explained last year why it became more why it got a more central part in the Haggadah, because more and more parts of the Haggadah became not familiar. But I would like to address this year to the educational philosophy behind this idea, which is rooted in a story of Rabba and Abaye, who sat at the same Seder table. When Abaye was a child who was brought up, who was raised by Rabba since he was an orphan, and he sits at Rabba's table, and he was at that stage of his life, a sheino yoda lishol. He didn't ask anything. Mazgu kol sheini, and what happened? Nothing. He didn't move a muscle in his face. And Rabba decided to, I would say, act differently than the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it would seem, if your son doesn't ask any questions, what do? You tell him. You tell him, okay, come here, sonny. And you tell him. But Rabba did something different. Rabba thought that it's better not to tell the sheino yoda lishol. It's better to make him ask. Don't tell him the answers, make him ask. And therefore, what did Rabba do? Rabba started clearing off the table. He declared the end of the meal. It's over. He did the so-called Akirat HaShulchan, which in those times, since people had a personal tray, it's like if you go to a cafeteria, you get a tray, they would take the tray away from you. That's it, the meal's over. In our days, it doesn't make any impression because we take the kara off the table, the seder plate, okay. But if you would start clearing off the table, everybody would say, what's going on? That's what happened to Abaye. Abaye said, where's dinner? What's going on? And what Rabba said there was, Sartani Lomar Manishtana, which in very simple words, you became from a bain, Sheino Yoda Elishol, to a bain, Hashoel. Even though, what did Abaye ask? Nothing too exciting. What did Abaye say? Where's dinner? Very, very moving, you know. Really, a Yiddish nachas from this kid. And Tosfos there asked the question. Why was he so moved? But the answer is very simple, the way the Rambam understands it. And that is that Rabba's goal was not to make Abaye ask smart questions. It was to wake him up. It was to make him involved. It was to make him into Sheyodei Lishol. And once he asks the question, look at the Rambam's philosophy. Mitzvah lo'odia labanim v'afilu lo she'alo, she'nimah v'igata lebincha, l'fi da'ato shel ben aviv, sorry, צריך לעשות שינוי בלילה הזה, כשהוא רואה בנים וישאלו, ויאמרו, מה נשתנה הלילה הזה מקורלו? What's the question? What's going on? That's the only question. עד שישיב להם ויאמר להם, כך וכך אירע, כך וכך היה. The Ketzad Neshaneh, and here he brings all the three things he brings appear in the Gemara as being related to this concept. Michalek Lam Klayot Ve'Agozim. It's called prizes or candy. Okay, it doesn't have to be a nut, it could be any candy you like. It works. I personally think you have to be careful of over behaviorism, but it works very well. A candy man in shul brings the kids to shul, and candy at the table brings them. It also solves their appetite problem at the night of the Seder. Second thing is Okrim Ashulchan Milifnehem Kodem Sheyochlu. That's what I described before. This means do things different than the usual sequence of the way you run your table. When kids see things different, they're curious, they'll be there. Don't bore them. Chotfin Matzah Zeh Miyad Zeh. Here it's called gangs. Hafalot in the modern Hebrew. And do anything else. Kayotze Bidvarim Ha'engel. So the goal of the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim in the Rambam starts with the adults, and then it goes to the children. When what we saw here, the Rambam brings the idea of Rabbah that the children should not be told, but to be encouraged to ask. And then he continues in a statement which would seem, first mind, returning to something he already said before. Ein lo isha ben. That he mentioned Alech Aleph, right? Ishto shalto. Ein lo isha shalim zed zeh ma nishtana layla zeh. Afilo ayu kulam chachamim. Haya levado shoel atzmo ma nishtana layla zeh. He already mentioned that before. When you look very clearly at the words of the Rambam, you see that the Rambam had in mind that the truth is the Seder should be run in two major streams. And one is what he calls, I underlined in the text, Mitzvat Aseh Shel Torah, Lesaper Benisim Beniflaot. That's the Zachoret Hayom Hazeh. That's an adult experience. There are no children here involved. Then there's another mitzvah which is Lehodia, to announce, to bring the basic element ideas of Judaism. And this is to children, but the truth is, it's also to ourselves. Every Jew should function as somebody who is misaper and also somebody who is a shoel and is a modia. And that's the reason why the Rambam repeats it twice. It's not repeating the same idea. Now, Lecha Aleph, the mitzvah doesn't start with children. But the mitzvah of Lehodia, that mitzvah, it starts to the next generation. And if you have no child, look at this amazing statement. What does he do? Sho'el la'atzmo. Kavichol, he has to function as the person who asks and the person who answers. Because a Jew, even towards himself, has to see himself as the next generation. I would say the following. To make sure you're not the last generation, you have to feel the sense of responsibility. I discussed this with my students. We have a 3,000 year tradition that if we won't transmit it to the next generation, it's all on our shoulders. And a person has to feel like he's that child. And he has to ask and give himself clear, simple answers. The Hodia. When I will conclude with 2 more minutes, with your permission, of Alecha Daled, here we go back to Latchil Begnut, Umesayim Beshvach. And I mentioned before the Machloket, what is the Gnut, what is the Shvach? And already before the Rambam, Rabbeinu Chananel mentions that we do both, which happens in other areas of halacha, which would seem very suitable dafka at the Seder night, because one of the principles of the Seder night is Kol Amarbel Esaper Beitziat Mitzrayim Arei Zeh Meshubach. So there are two suggestions in the Gemara. Do both. When you look very clearly in the Rambam, you can see that the Rambam brought both, but each one thought belongs to the different parts of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because look what he says. Tzich la'atchil begnut u'misayim b'shvach. Keitzad. Matchil u'mesaper. Mesaper goes back to halacha aleph. The adult conversation. You're asking yourself to deepen your understanding of Yitziat Mitzrayim. This can include metaphysics, spirituality. Ketzad matchilu mesaper shebatchila yu avoteinu bimei terach umilafanav kofrim v'toin achrei hevel v'utfin achar avodah zara umesayim bedat haemet shekirvanu amakom lo v'vdilanu min hatoim v'kirvanu liyichudo. Then, when he translates to Avadim Ayinu, he says, V'chein matchil u'mordia. To your children, you don't talk metaphysics, don't make it too complicated. Don't use words like transcendental. Don't use those words, okay? What do you talk to kids? Shavadim Ayinu leParo b'Mitzrayim. Even the Ben HaGadol v'Chacham we saw before, you talked to him about Mitzrayim. So he has a deeper level of understanding. You can tell him Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? You can you can analyze with him deeper, but talk about Mitzrayim with the children. So the Rambam I will conclude in the first four halachot of Perek Zayin of Chametz Matzah, he balances between the adults and the children. The Rambam really describes the Seder perhaps should be run. If you have in mind also the next generation, but also if you have in mind also adults, adult conversation, we should be aware of that adults can aspire to a higher level, to a deeper understanding. From year to year, you can ask yourself more questions about what you already know. And this mitzvah should be aimed at ourselves, not at our children. And these are two mitzvot, the mitzvah of Sippur, as even with no children, l'chatchila, the mitzvah of Sippur, its content, is metaphysics, its understanding of Avodat Hashem, what's behind the Yitziat Mitzrayim, kol ha'ma'arich harei zeh meshubach. Then there's the second mitzvah, the mitzvah of l'hodia, which I don't have time to discuss, but the Rambam uses the same phrase, l'hodia, in his introduction to Mishneh Torah, referring to Purim, and in Ilchot Chanukah, referring to Chanukah, meaning in the different mitzvot of Pirsumei Nisa, which we transmit v'neis to the next generation, to other people, Rambam uses l'hodia. We're making an announcement. It's not a long dialogue. There's no negotiations here about the content. You don't try to raise questions regarding to the understanding the basic content. It's like some basic dogmas, some basic ideas which you're modia. This is to the next generation, but it's also to yourself too. En lo ben, en lo isha, shoel at atzmo ma nishtana. I think this is true not only the Seder night, but in general, I think that it's not good to keep negotiating all the time who we are. The Rambam is really saying is every Jew should have a certain safe point, which you have to work at it. You have to reach that point. But from that point on, you can now try to transmit. If you always go back to the beginning, you never reach any place. But I want to wish upon ourselves to have a beautiful night, Bezrat Hashem. If she zochel saper v'tziat mitzrayim ki'ilchato, chag kasher v'sameach.